Hello there, friends.
Hi. Say, Uncle Dan, you must be ready to tell us the third and final Esther story, right?
That's right, Aunt Sue.
In our last chapter, we learned that Esther, sometime after becoming Queen of Persia, discovered that a decree had been made to destroy her and all the Hebrews scattered throughout the land.
The decree was brought about by the wicked Haman, prime minister, who hated Mordecai because he would not worship him.
Are Esther and her people finally killed, Uncle Dan?
That's what we're going to find out, Aunt Sue, in this episode, which has been adapted from the last five chapters of the Book of Esther. I call this last segment of our story
The Daring Act.
When Mordecai learned of the wicked decree that Haman had issued in the name of the king Ahasuerus, he rent his clothes and cried aloud,
my God, what have I done to thy chosen people? And why has this calamity befallen thy children? For because of my action has this wicked Haman caused the decree to be given that all thine elect should perish. O Lord, is my heart truly humble before thee? Have I provoked his anger unduly? Is it because of any transgression on my part that now we are condemned to die? O Lord, how shall I be able to face my brethren when they learn that their little ones must suffer because I would not bow before this evil Haman? How shall I bear to see them slain before mine eyes? Should I have bowed in token obedience to the king's decree and thus prevented this trouble?
And Mordecai put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, wailing with a loud and bitter cry. And he went up into the entrance of the king's gate.
Hey, you, get away from there!
For no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. Now, when Esther's maids and her eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai's mourning, the queen was deeply distressed, and she sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth and enter the palace and explain his sorrow.
Mordecai! Mordecai! Mordecai, Queen Esther is very distressed that you mourn, and she desires to know the reason for your sorrow. Here, she has sent you these clean garments that you may take off your sackcloth and enter the palace and tell her why you mourn.
I cannot remove my sackcloth, for I cannot cease from mourning. My sorrow is too great for me to enter the palace, for surely I could not keep from crying out within its chambers. Take the garments back to Queen Esther, for I cannot accept them.
And when Esther learned that Mordecai refused to enter the palace, she sent Hatak again unto Mordecai.
Mordecai, because you will not come to the palace, Queen Esther has instructed that you tell me the reason why you mourn, and for whom you sorrow, that I may report unto her.
I mourn for the life of the queen.
You mean Queen Esther?
For she has been sold, she and her people, to be destroyed, to be slain, annihilated.
Oh, what do you mean? Such a thing is impossible.
Would to God that such a thing was impossible. But I have a copy of her death decree right here.
Oh, let me see that. By official order of His Majesty Ahasuerus, King of all Persia and Media, it is hereby decreed that all people from the land of Judah, who are known as Hebrews, are to be destroyed, to be slain, and to be annihilated, young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and their goods shall be plundered. What? Are you a Hebrew? And Queen Esther?
Yes, we are Hebrews.
Is the king aware of that?
No, I'm sure he isn't.
Oh, he must not have been, else he never would have issued such a decree.
The king didn't really issue the decree. Haman did.
Haman? The prime minister?
Yes.
But why?
For revenge.
Revenge? Revenge for what?
For my refusing to bow down before him and worship him.
Worship him? Or whatever for?
He claims to be a god. And therefore,
him,
everyone...
Oh, God? Why, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Since when has he claimed to be a god?
Ever since the king first commanded that all should bow before him.
Oh.
And as a Hebrew, I can worship no other god than the God of heaven.
Yes, yes, I know. I am well acquainted with what your religion teaches. Well, then because you have refused to bow down to Haman, he is going to destroy you and all your fellow countrymen.
Yes.
And Queen Esther.
Yes.
Well, we must stop this madman.
How?
Well, there must be some way. Well, how did he ever manage to get the king to let him issue a decree to slay all the Hebrews? Well, surely His Majesty the King realizes that there are thousands and thousands of loyal Hebrew subjects within his realm. To have all of them put to death is utter folly.
Haman didn't tell the king what nationality was involved. He asked the king for permission to destroy a certain people who keep not the king's laws.
But you keep the king's laws?
In every matter where the king has the right to command, we obey.
Well, by now the king must be aware that Haman was referring to the Hebrews.
Perhaps not. Instead of signing the decree himself in the normal manner, His Majesty allowed Haman to take the royal signet ring and seal the decree. Therefore, King Ahasuerus may not even yet have read the decree know what it says.
Well, somebody had better tell him what's going on. The next thing we know, Haman will be having everyone put to death. How did he ever get the king to let him take the royal signet ring anyway?
I've been told that he offered to pay into the king's treasury 10,000 talents of silver for our destruction.
10,000 talents of silver? Why, it's unbelievable. I know Haman's a rich man, but 10,000 talents of silver? Well, surely no man who is not a king has that much wealth.
Haman plans to plunder the goods of all the Hebrews that are slain. I tell you, we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed.
Yes. But is there nothing you can do?
Our only hope lies with Queen Esther.
Queen Esther?
She must appeal to the king for the lives of her people. She's the only one who now would have any chance of nullifying the decree.
I understand.
Take the copy of the decree, show it to the queen, and tell her all that I've told you. Then charge her to go to the king to make supplication to him and entreat him for her people.
I can't believe such a thing could happen. Yet I have the decree here before me. It's all like a nightmare.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Did Cousin Mordecai indicate any plans that my people are making to meet this emergency?
No, Your Majesty. Only that he said to charge you to go before the king and entreat him for your people.
Go before the king? Oh, Hatak, such a thing is impossible. I can only appear before the king when I'm summoned.
I know, Your Majesty.
Doesn't Mordecai understand that?
Perhaps not, Your Majesty.
Then go again into the courtyard of the city and find him and tell him that it's impossible.
Mordecai! Mordecai!
Yes? Do you have a message from the queen?
She said to tell you, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law. All alike are to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. And I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days, and I know not when he will summon me again.
But Queen Esther's our only hope.
Yet even she can only do what the custom will allow.
She will have to do more than the custom will allow. She will have to make an appearance in the inner court and trust that the king will hold out to her the golden scepter.
But such a thing is unheard of for a queen.
Return to the queen and tell her, think not that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Hebrews. For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise from another quarter. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?
For such a time as this. Perhaps this is why God has made me queen over all the land of Persia. Hatak.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Return again unto Mordecai, and say unto him, go gather all the Hebrews to be found in Shushan, and hold a fast on my behalf, and neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish.
After fasting for 3 days, Esther makes the final preparation. She puts on her finest royal robes and adorns herself to look her loveliest. Then slowly she makes her way to the inner court, where King Ahasuerus is sitting on his royal throne opposite the entrance. She draws near. She can hear the king and his attendants talking as they engage in the normal court activities. Just before she enters the chamber, she stops and offers a short, silent prayer.
Lord, if it be thy will that I am to save thy people in this crisis, have the king look kindly upon me and extend to me the golden scepter.
Then she enters the throne room. A silence of death suddenly falls upon the members of the court. For an instant, no one moves. The king's bodyguards are ready to cover Esther's head and carry her away to be slain for daring to appear in the king's presence without being summoned. Then, miraculously, the king takes the golden scepter from his side and extends it toward the queen. As Esther approaches the king to touch the top of the scepter, King Ahasuerus realizes that she must have an important request to dare enter his throne room uncalled.
What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you, even to half of my kingdom.
Esther knows that these words of the king are merely a formality. If she should suddenly give way to her inner feelings and tell the king the true reason for her appearance at court, the cause of her people would not be helped in the slightest. Therefore, she makes a simple request.
If it please the king, let the king and Haman come this day to a dinner that I have prepared for the king.
A dinner? Well, this is a pleasant surprise. How soon do you wish us to come?
It is prepared even now, my lord.
Fine. We shall come at once, then. Scribe, dismiss the court. Messenger, go at once and bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires. Well, Queen Esther certainly knows how to prepare a delicious dinner, wouldn't you say, Haman?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Well, I wish the cooks and servants in my own quarters could do even half as well. But I suppose that's one reason why I chose her as queen. She has tremendous talent as well as outstanding beauty.
Definitely, Your Majesty. Definitely.
Esther?
Yes, my lord.
You've been very quiet during the meal. Something's bothering you, I can tell.
My king and lord is very wise.
And it doesn't take very much wisdom to realize that you have a special request to make of me. Otherwise, you would not have risked your life to appear at my throne room this morning. Now tell me, what is your petition? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled.
My petition and my request is...
Suddenly, Esther stops. The events of the day have taken an extreme amount of emotional control. Now, as she starts to make her request, she is afraid that she will not be able to refrain from weeping in the presence of the king.
If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the dinner which I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king has said.
I see. Very well. If you can wait until tomorrow, so can I. And I'm certainly not going to pass up the opportunity to eat another meal like the one I've been served today.
Thank you, my lord.
Come, Haman. We had best be getting back to the throne room. There is much work to be done yet today.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Until tomorrow, then, Esther, my dear.
Yes? Oh, good evening. Won't you come in?
I came as soon as I could after I received Haman's message. Is something wrong?
Yes, but I don't know what. Haman has hardly spoken to me since he got home. Something has greatly displeased him. I don't think I've ever seen him quite so worked up.
Where is he now?
He's in the next room with several of his other friends and counselors. Come, we had better not keep him waiting.
Well, there you are. What kept you so long?
Oh, I came as quickly as I could, sir.
Yes. All right, gentlemen. I've called you together this evening to give me counsel.
Yes, Haman.
Aziresh?
Yes, my lord.
I want you to remain here with the others. I may need your advice and counsel as well.
As you wish, dear.
Now, all of you are aware that I have very great riches.
Oh, there is no one who excels you in riches except the king.
And all of you know that I have many sons.
The gods have greatly blessed you, Haman.
And now the king has promoted me to be above all the other princes and servants of the king until I am next to the king himself. And at my request, the king has issued a decree that all the people are to bow before me and worship me. And today, when the queen made a great banquet and personally came to the throne room to invite the king to attend, even Queen Esther let no one come with the king to the banquet she prepared but myself. And tomorrow, also, I am invited by her together with the king. Yet all this does me no good. So long as I see Mordecai, the Hebrew, sitting at the king's gate, for he refuses to bow before me or to do homage. Now, therefore, I have called you together to give me your advice and counsel. How can I best rid myself of the presence of this pest?
Will he not be put to death with all the other Hebrews, as it is commanded in your edict?
It would be because of him and his insolence that I had the edict made. Yet the 13th day of the 12th month is still many long weeks away. I cannot endure the sight of him standing there any longer.
Why not have him removed from his position?
Perhaps you could have him cast into the royal dungeon.
Well, bring him to the public trial as an example.
May I make a suggestion, Haman?
Of course. I asked you to remain.
It would seem to me that there is no need to wait until the 13th day of the 12th month to put this Mordecai to death. Why not do it now, at once?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Put him to death just like that. You forget, my dear, that this is Persia. I can't put him to death without at least a trial or a royal decree.
I forget nothing, but perhaps you have forgotten that you are second in the kingdom.
I most certainly have not.
Then go to the king and ask permission to put Mordecai to death. Huh? After all the honors that he has placed upon you, he will certainly not refuse you this simple request.
Right. Put him to death in a public place where all can see him.
His death will cast fear into the hearts of all the other Hebrews.
He will be an example.
Well, my house is near the center of town. We could build a gallows right here in my yard.
I know some carpenters who I could get to build it.
When could they start?
Right away, I suppose. Even yet tonight.
Have it built high enough so that all can see him.
How high would that be?
Oh, at least 40 cubits.
Oh, yes.
Let a gallows 50 cubits high be made. And in the morning, tell the king to have Mordecai hanged upon it. Then go merrily with the king to dinner.
This counsel pleased Haman, and he had the gallows made. Now on that night the king could not sleep, and he gave orders to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. By doing this, the king hoped that he would fall asleep while they read to him.
Then did the king summon to a great feast all his princes and servants, the army chiefs of Persia and Media, and the nobles and governors of the provinces being before him, while he showed the riches of his royal glory and the splendor.
All during the night they read to him, but to no avail. As morning approached, the king still had not fallen asleep.
Year of the king's reign did two of the king's eunuchs plot together to slay King Ahasuerus. Their names were Bigthan and Teresh, and it was their duty to guard the threshold of the king's house. However, Mordecai, one of the king's servants at the gate, learned of their plot and revealed the matter to Queen Esther, who promptly told the king in the name of Mordecai. When the affair was investigated, Bigthan and Teresh were found guilty, and both were hanged on the gallows. On the fourth day of the second month...
Is that all that is recorded concerning the plot to take my life?
Yes, Your Majesty. I read all that was written here.
Well, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? Didn't I give him some reward for saving my life?
There's nothing recorded, Your Majesty.
Oh.
I'm sure that if you had given him a reward, that it would have been written here.
That's very strange.
Apparently nothing has been done for him.
Who is in the court?
I'll see who it is, Your Majesty.
Now Haman had just entered the outer court of the king's palace to speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for him.
Your Majesty... Haman, the Prime Minister, is there, standing in the court. He desires an audience with you.
At this hour in the morning? Well, very well, let him come in.
The king will see you, Haman.
Good morning, Haman. You're certainly here early this morning. But that is good. You can help me. I need you to give me a little advice.
Gladly, Your Majesty.
What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?
The man whom the king delights to honor?
Whom would the king delight to honor more than me? I'm really going to make this good.
For the man whom the king delights to honor, let royal robes be brought, which the king has worn, and the horse which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown is set. And let the robes and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noble princes. Let him array the man whom the king delights to honor, and let him conduct the man on horseback through the open square of the city, proclaiming before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor."
Splendid, splendid. Make haste, Haman. Take the robes and the horse, as you have said, and do so to Mordecai, the Hebrew who sits at the king's gate.
Mordecai?
And be sure that you leave out nothing that you have mentioned.
Why, Haman, dear, you're home early. Is something wrong?
I'm ruined. I'll never be able to live down the disgrace I've suffered today. It was awful. I'm ruined, ruined.
But what happened?
What happened? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? I've never been so humiliated in all my life.
No, I haven't heard. I haven't been outside the house all day. Well, tell me, what's wrong?
I had to lead Mordecai through the streets and announce before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor."
Mordecai, the Hebrew? Yes. The one for whom you had the gallows made?
Yes, the same. It was terrible, all those people seeing me and laughing under their breath.
But how did you ever happen to do that?
Well, the king commanded me to.
The king? Well, I don't understand.
I went to the throne room first thing this morning to ask permission to hang Mordecai as you suggested. Well, as soon as I entered the room, the king said to me, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor?" And I was certain the king had it in his mind to honor me. So I suggested that royal robes be placed upon him, and that he be placed on the royal horse and led through the city by one of the noble princes.
But instead of having you in mind, the king wanted to honor this Mordecai, the Hebrew?
Yes, and I was the noble prince. How humiliating!
Why did he wish to honor Mordecai?
Oh, I don't know. Something about his saving the king's life by revealing a plot of some guards through Esther, the queen. Somehow he had never been rewarded for his service.
Haman, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of the Hebrew people, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him.
Who could that be? Whoever it is, tell him I'm not seeing anyone. Not anyone, do you understand?
Yes, dear, I understand. Yes, may I help you?
I am a eunuch in the service of the king. Is Haman here?
Yes, he's here, but he doesn't wish to see anyone.
He must come to the palace at once. The king is waiting for him, so that they may go to the queen's banquet. Tell him to come immediately.
Well, my dear queen, again you have prepared an absolutely perfect banquet. I've probably eaten too much again, though.
I'm very pleased that you've enjoyed it, Your Majesty. Hey, Tak, perhaps His Majesty would care for more drink.
Oh, yes, just a little. There, there, that's fine, thank you.
Would you also like more, Haman?
Haman?
Yes, Your Majesty.
You were asked if you cared for more drink.
Yes, please.
What's the matter with you, anyway? You act like you're in a different world.
I guess I'm a little tired from my morning's activities, Your Majesty.
Tired or disappointed? Perhaps you felt that you were the one I was going to honor.
Yes, I guess I did, Your Majesty.
I thought so. Well, I think it did you good to have to be a little more humble for a few hours.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And you, Esther, you still haven't told me the reason for inviting me here for such a delicious dinner yesterday and today. Now tell me, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled.
If I have found favor in your sight, O king, and if it please the king, Let my life be given me at my petition.
Your life?
And my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to be annihilated.
Such a thing is impossible.
If we had been sold merely as slaves, men and women, I would have held my peace. For our affliction is not to be compared with the loss to the king and his kingdom.
Who is he and where is he that would presume to do this?
A foe and enemy. This wicked Haman.
No! No!
And the king rose from the feast in wrath and went into the palace garden. But Haman stayed to beg his life from Queen Esther, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king.
Your Majesty, please have mercy. I didn't know you were a Hebrew. Please spare my life. Oh, please be merciful. I have a wife and family who will take care of them. Please speak to the king in my behalf. Please, Your Majesty, please,
we'll
please!
We'll even assault the queen in my presence, in my own house. Take him away and hang him!
No!
Your Majesty, when I went to Haman's house to bring him to the feast, I noticed a gallows standing in his yard. I asked and discovered that it is, moreover, a gallows which Haman has prepared for Mordecai, whose word saved the king. It is even now standing in Haman's yard, 50 cubits high.
Hang him on that!
So they hanged Haman on the gallows which he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the anger of the king abated. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave to Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Hebrews. And Mordecai was brought before the king. For Esther told the king that Mordecai was her uncle. And the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Mordecai became the prime minister. Then Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Because an edict written in the name of the king and sealed with the king's ring could not be revoked, it was necessary to issue another edict to prevent the Hebrews from being slain in all the kingdom.
Hear ye, hear ye! By official order of His Majesty, Ahasuerus, King of all Persia and Media, it is hereby decreed that all people from the land of Judah, who are known as Hebrews, shall be allowed to gather together in every city and defend their lives, to destroy, to slay, to annihilate any armed force of any people or province that might attack them, with their children and women, and to plunder their goods upon one day throughout all the provinces of the king, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar.